You're listening to a High Voltage Radio Network podcast. Find more at highvoltageradio.com.
This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Down with the king!
Yo, you know what it's about, so let's tell them why you're mad.
You know what really grinds my gears?
A man!
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Now for something completely different.
It's time for a royal rant, presented by the Kings of Sport.
No fear from Goldberg.
That's fair! Goldberg hit Lesnar with a spear! A spear from out of nowhere!
Goldberg may shock the world!
Goldberg looking to end this early!
Lesnar's hurt! Lesnar's hurt! Goldberg again with a spear! Two spears to Lesnar! Brock's in trouble! Brock's in trouble!
I don't think anybody expected this sort of dominance right out of the gate from Goldberg!
The Beast may be on the verge of getting slayed!
What an incredible moment here! Lesnar trying to catch his breath, trying to make it to his feet!
The Icon is stalking the Beast incarnate.
Lesnar can't even get up. Goldberg again. He's got Lesnar center of the ring.
Goldberg's looking for a jackhammer.
He's looking for the jackhammer! Goldberg looking for the jackhammer! A jackhammer to Lesnar! Here's the cover! Oh my God! Goldberg beat Brock!
Here is your winner, Goldberg!
A monumental upset! After 12 years, Goldberg returns to the ring! Absolutely destroys the Beast.
I cannot believe what I just witnessed.
You and me both.
Now that you're out of my life, I'm so much better. You thought that I'd be weak without you, but I'm stronger. You thought that I'd be broke without you, but I'm richer. You thought that I'd be sad without you, I laugh harder. Thought I wouldn't grow without you, now I'm wiser. Thought that I'd be helpless without you, but I'm smarter.
And welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, a.k.a. the world's most dangerous sports show, a.k.a. iTunes' longest-running weekly episodic sports program produced and hosted by two or more African-Americans that are not affiliated with a major network. I am your host, the Godfather, Nate Milton, joined as always by my partner in crime, Marcus. My posse's on Broadway, Vandenberg. How you doing, brother?
What's up, Nate? How you doing?
I'm doing well, my friend. We're giving the people another royal rant this week just because,
why?
Go ahead. Keep it 100. Keep it 100.
It's the holidays, and we got jobs, and we got lives, and we busy. So,
like, do not be surprised if you catch another one of these in a couple weeks.
Yeah. I mean, this is the royal rant season. It goes Thanksgiving, Christmas, Royal Rants.
We including Kwanzaa in that?
We might need Kwanzaa after this election. We all need to come together and
this might be our last Kwanzaa.
Yes. That's only in the list, the Donald Trump list.
I was gonna say it's in the first 100 days platform.
Yeah.
So we gotta get rid of this Kwanzaa. Who even celebrates it? And that would be the first rational thing Donald Trump has ever said.
Yeah.
But, no politics this week. We said our piece last week. But this week is going to be a special I got five on an edition of the Royal Rant because there was so much that happened this weekend in the world of sports and sports entertainment. And, you know, we figured we weren't going to have a long time with you, but we wanted to give y'all the most bang for your buck, even though y'all ain't paying for this. So, Marcus, before we get to the questions, though, I think a lot of people want to know, because I've had people hit me up on email. I don't know why the hell they're emailing me when they should, you know, just go to the source. How was your trip to Disney, brother?
It was good. I was actually trying to arrange a guest, but that sort of fell through. So I'll touch on it briefly just in case that doesn't happen. It was a good trip. I was there for 7 days. Myself, my wife, her sister, my brother, both of our mothers, my brother's partner. So it was a good trip.
Now is this the brother that went to the Trump rallies?
Yes. And just for the record, he was going to mock. He wasn't going to support. So, bit difference. So yeah, we were there for a week. Pretty decent weather. I would say probably low 80s most days. Only really, not even really any rain. No thunderstorms, anything like that. So that part lucked out. And in general, so. Listen, Disney is expensive. However, I never feel when I finish my vacation that I didn't get my money's worth. For example, so you might have seen the pictures. You went to the Halloween party on Monday. On that Monday, which is Halloween, I dressed up as Russell from Up.
Yes.
And basically, the Halloween party, it's in the Magic Kingdom. It's a private ticket event from like 7 to midnight. And they have
now before uh-huh. you, I was gonna say, but you might be just about to say this, but for the listeners out there, for some point of clarification, was this a grown folks party?
It was mid ages. You had adults who were going to dress up, and you had, of course, kids. And the later the night went, the less kids were out because, for obvious reasons, you know, bedtime. Even on vacation, there should be bedtime. And so. Around the park, there were different, basically, trick-or-treat stations where you would, like, for example, the Tiki Room was closed, and instead of the show going on, you would go inside the Tiki Room and walk in, and there'd be two different lines of Disney cast members handing out candy. And usually there's no wait. You just pretty much, you know, walk through, walk out, get your candy. So that was cool. And then the later in the night, as it went, because this was Halloween and the last Halloween party, the more the cast members got a little generous with the candy, to the point where you would go to the candy station and instead of giving you, you know, it started off with maybe like one handful when the night started, but by like 11 p.m. it was literally like, give me your bag and handfuls of candy, and there is nothing preventing you from leaving that line and walking right back in and getting more candy. So I can't prepare.
What kind of operation are you running, Mickey?
Well, we did ask one of the cast members, and we were like, yo, so like what happens with the candy and all that. They said they couldn't keep the candy. Like, Disney wouldn't give it to him. So,
really?
Yeah.
Damn, that's cold blooded.
I'm not sure why that was, but their mission was to get rid of said candy. So,
now just imagine like Slave Master Mickey waiting back at the big castle and cussing anybody out that actually comes back with candy.
I know.
I told you not to bring candy back home.
I'm picturing Mickey Mouse as like a Chappelle character.
You're just sitting there with like the old Southern plantation seersucker suit,
mm-hmm.
with a hat fanning himself because it's so hot,
and a pipe, corn pipe.
Pluto, bring me some lemonade, Pluto.
And a rocking chair with the what's that movie playing in the background?
Song of the South.
Song of the South,
which you can buy at all available Southern heritage sites. So yeah, I have a feeling those might get more popular the closer we get to January. Just saying.
Yeah, I did Splash Mountain, and I still feel a little dirty riding that ride as a black man. But It's a good ride.
So is that the most racist theme park ride ever?
Oh, it's gotta be, right? Because number one, there's an actual story. There's an arc to the ride. And number two, it's a long ass ride. It's like a 10-minute ride.
It really is.
So it's gotta,
it pays off though.
Be.
Like that drop is amazing.
Yes. So I came prepared because I was Russell from up, so I had a backpack as part of my outfit. So I was able to take my candy bag and put it in my backpack and carry it out. But it's been almost 3 weeks now, and I took the candy to work, and we still have candy, like lots of candy left. So it was several pounds of candy.
So Al's slacking on his pimping.
He is. Well, no, he's been going and getting his share.
So you just had that much?
Oh, yeah. That was my bad. My wife had a bag just as big, and my sister-in-law, who went as well to the party, had her own bag. So we got our money's back for the price of the ticket alone. So, but overall, if you've never been to Disney World, I would say go at least once, because even though you might think it's, you know, for kids, there is more than enough adult stuff to do at Disney World. We went during the Food and Wine Festival, which is what you would imagine, food and wine.
Now that you are a, now that our listeners know, you are a wine connoisseur.
I am. I don't think I had any wine during the Food and Wine Festival. I had some alcohol, but I don't think I had any wine per se. But basically in Epcot, if you're familiar with Disney World, inside Epcot and the World Showcase, there are a bunch of booths from different nations with different foods. So I think there's like 30 different nations represented. So there's a Caribbean booth, there's a France booth, there's a German booth. So basically you go around, and the samples aren't super big. You got to pay for it, number one. So they do charge you, but it's you can probably share if you wanted to, but it's just enough to get you over. So that part was cool, and you know, besides that, I'm trying to think what else we did. I think there was something I wanted to tell you about on the show, but I can't remember what it was off the top of my head.
Was it Minnie trying to holler at you?
Oh, that was a funny photo. Yeah. Yeah, did the character meet and greets and came up with an awkward photo of me going in for a hug on Minnie. And the look on my face was like, I shouldn't be hugging you, but you know what? But overall, it was a good trip, and I'm actually...
So you got Mickey and Goofy in the corner. Mickey's like, that shit's straight up disrespectful, man. And Goofy's like, hold on, Mickey. Don't trip, dog. Don't trip. No, nigga, I got to set this off. this is the best Mickey you're going to get at like 11 o'clock at night, folks.
That's a pretty good Mickey. Oh, I forgot the one thing I was going to tell you. So we got hooked up, and so we basically didn't stand in line the entire trip. We had extra fast passes for the entire week. So that made a big difference, because, you know, when you have to stand in line for 40, 50 minutes a ride, that sort of drains on you. But when you can sort of walk up and go on and go on with your day, it's the way to go. So
cool.
But overall, good trip, and I'll be back for WrestleMania. I already bought my tickets for WrestleMania, and we're gonna stay on property. So going back in March,
and you can die after that. Just WrestleMania and Disney in the same weekend.
This is and baseball starts that weekend too. Opening day that Sunday. This is my worlds coming together.
Nice. Glad you had a good trip, brother, and I know the people are glad that you're back. So real quick, before we get to our five questions, though, I do have an extra question for you, and that is, was Captain EO still around?
No, Captain EO has been closed since, I want to say, the last time I went. It's done.
Damn.
Yeah.
No hope for Michael.
Nope, in both parts it's done. So not even Disneyland or Disney World. It's gone. So.
So not even Euro Disney.
No. Rest in peace, Captain EO.
Oh, all right. Well, on that sad note, let's turn to I Got Five on It. And this week, I've got five hand-picked questions for Marcus Vandenberg, and he will answer them. And each question, to add a little bit more intrigue to the proceedings, is going to have a five-minute time limit. So we'll see how well Brother Marcus does on this. So without any further ado, will somebody hit that music? All right, Brother Marcus, for those that do not know, we are recording moments after the end of the WWE Survivor Series. This year, it was an attempt to kind of bring this back as one of their big four pay-per-views or special events if you've got the network. And so question number one, Marcus, is related to the world of the WWE, and that is... Mm-hmm. How much WWE programming did you consume over the weekend? And what was your most enjoyable moment of WWE viewing? Yeah.
The first answer, too much. The most enjoyable was WWE Storytime, which I just watched before we started the podcast. Did you see this?
Yes. I saw that one. I saw the Ron Simmons story with Teddy Long.
Oh, the Flair one. It was probably what 10 minutes long at the most.
Yeah. Yep.
Fantastic. It's like it's camp WWE with real stories.
Yeah.
Just imagine that, and you have the talent there, sort of taking you through the story with the animation. It's great. That was the most enjoyable thing of the weekend, because you know NXT was fine, but it wasn't their best show.
No,
and Survivor Series was just a weird show. What do you think about Survivor Series?
Well, let's give the people the results of tonight in case they missed it or didn't care about it. Survivor Series taking place north of the border. So shout out to our friends of the law, John Pollock and Wei Ting. I thought about hollering at them tonight, but I knew they couldn't get to a landline in time, and we don't need those problems again, Marcus.
Listen, I am still scared to talk to Pollock after our last conversation. So I love you, John.
Let's see. I'll just go ahead and read all of the. Just go down and read the main matches because I don't give a damn about the pre-show stuff.
You don't care about Kane versus who do you fight?
Survivor Series match. What's up?
You don't care about Kane versus whoever he fought?
No, I don't care about Kane. I don't care about your man Rich Swann. Even though I like Rich Swann, I don't give a damn about the match because it's just too much.
Poor Cruiserweights.
So we've had in our first traditional Survivor Series match, the Raw women, Charlotte, Bayley, Nia Jax, Alicia Fox, and Sasha Banks with Dana Brooke, beating Team SmackDown Live, Natalya, Becky Lynch, Alexa Bliss, Carmella, and Naomi. The Miz retained his Intercontinental Championship, beating Sami Zayn. Brian Kendrick defeated Kalisto with the help of Baron Corbin. We had the Raw tag teams, which are way too many to name, beat the SmackDown tag teams. and then in the first of your two main events, we had Team SmackDown Live, AJ Styles, Dean Ambrose, Bray Wyatt, Randy Orton, Shane McMahon, and James Ellsworth beating Team Raw, Kevin Owens, Chris Jericho, Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman, and Seth Rollins. And the Wyatt family were your survivors. And in the main event, Marcus, the match that we'll touch on in more in depth in a little bit, we had Bill Goldberg. Yes, that Goldberg defeating Brock Lesnar in about a minute and a half.
Yeah, you heard that right.
So before we get to the main event or the real story that everybody will be talking about for at least, you know, the next few days. What did you make of this card? Because I got to be honest, Marcus, I had Sunday Night Football on in the background and I was watching the network. And I say most of my attention was on that football game because the pay-per-view just wasn't that compelling.
I still have the football game win as we speak on my phone. I got home a little late. I went to the Rams game, came back, and the women's match, as soon as the whole Natalya Angel kicked in with the phony acting backstage with her and Nikki, I was just like, I can't watch this match. So I skipped that match instantly. I watched zero of that match. And then I was on Twitter, so I saw who won between The Miz and, who was it, Sami Zayn?
Yeah.
So I skipped that match as well. And then got to the tag match, which, nothing special. The 10-man. And Cruiserweight match was also a weird ending because of Baron Corbin.
Yeah.
I thought for sure that the Cruiserweights would go over to SmackDown, but that did not happen. And I did actually like the co-main event with the Raw and SmackDown men. I thought that was a pretty interesting match. You got your Shield spot, which was good. I didn't really understand why Ambrose would attack Styles during the match. That didn't make a lot of sense logically.
Because he's a lunatic, Marcus. He's crazy.
Considering there's nothing on the line, I mean, there was no stakes for this match, then I guess it makes sense.
Yes.
But that match went 50-something minutes. And it didn't feel like 50-something minutes, which was great. No. And then
it was a really good match. Like, you had a couple really outstanding spots, like that Shane McMahon table dive is going to be something that they replay to death. I really enjoyed, you know, kind of the stories within the match. You know, we had the Shield. We had, you know, Bray Wyatt trying to bring Braun Strowman back to the Wyatt family. I dug all that stuff, you know. But you brought up maybe the best point about this whole night, Marcus. There were no damn stakes.
Yes.
And matches for the sake of matches, regardless of how good they are, you can only get but so much invested.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the only stake was, Raw won the women's match and they won the tag match, so there's a chance of SmackDown getting swept, which, okay.
I think it was just a lot of, you know, we're supposed to care because it's Team SmackDown versus Team Raw, and it felt very much like that pay-per-view bragging rights from back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have a distinct connection to either brand and you're just a WWE fan or even just a casual wrestling fan, there's not a whole lot to get you invested. And I think the other thing that really made this show go down a couple notches for me, Marcus, was the fact that almost every match was telling the same story, you know, with these teams that can't get along.
Yeah. The whole conflict angle. There's only so many times you can do it. So yeah, this is a weird show. And for this to be one of their big four.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
And like I like that they tried to put some more importance back on it. You know, they had this main event that garnered some attention in the mainstream. They brought back the traditional Survivor Series matches, but just doing those things in and of themselves are not going to bring this back to what it was back in the day. You know, you've actually got to make people give a damn about the matches.
Yeah, and I don't know how they do that. I mean, I think they didn't find a way to do it for WrestleMania and maybe the Rumble, but SummerSlam and Survivor Series are the shows that really, and especially Survivor Series, is the show that really hangs them up in terms of having some real interest. The show should feel special. The show shouldn't feel like, you know, roadblock, because that's what it felt like to me, minus the weird main event.
Right. Well, I'm glad you brought up SummerSlam, Brother Marcus, because main events and weird main events and weird finishes seem to be the order of the day, and that leads us into question number two. Brock Lesnar, Bill Goldberg, Marcus Vandenberg, my question to you is, what the hell did we just watch?
I guess my theory would be, well, two theories. One, Goldberg was, the plan for Goldberg was always to work a short match because that's all they trusted him with.
Right.
And then my second theory is Goldberg actually did hurt himself on Raw on Monday.
Mm.
And they had to do this in order to actually prevent a real match from taking place.
Okay. I'm not disputing either of those theories, but might I throw out a third theory, Brother Marcus?
All right.
Because a lot of the talk that we've been hearing, you know, from people that you and I would both trust, and I'm not going to reveal those names, but if you know me and Marcus and who we talk to, I think you could, you know, play 6 degrees of separation. But, you know, they've been telling me that the plan wasn't just for a one-off with Bill Goldberg. And so if the plan is to bring him back for Rumble or to bring him back for WrestleMania, this is probably the way that you present him. Now, obviously, I think you'd want to do more than 90 damn seconds, mm-hmm. but a short match with Goldberg looking strong would probably be how you'd want to go, particularly with somebody like Brock that can absorb the loss probably better than most.
That made sense, but then as a fan, do you want to see more Goldberg?
Which fans are you talking about, Marcus? Because you and I and the quote-unquote hardcores might not be interested in seeing Goldberg again, but dude's getting reactions. Those buildings that they're taking it to on Raw and even tonight at in Toronto, he was over.
He was over, but I do wonder if he continues on, will this match sort of be a negative for him? Will people see him as like a Roman Reigns in terms of like a, why did this dude beat Lesnar 90 seconds when Lesnar hasn't lost since pre-Taker, you know?
Yeah. Was it Cena the last guy to beat
him? Cena, yeah. I mean, you know, there's losing and then there's jobbing out. And what Lesnar did tonight was job out to a guy who hasn't wrestled in, what, 12 years.
And somewhere Sting was sitting there saying, Brock can lose to Goldberg when Triple H couldn't even do the job for me.
And there's that angle. You finally let WCW have its moment against your WWE project, your guy.
That was the first thing I thought of, Marcus. I don't know for you like where that ranked among the thoughts that ran through your head as that match ended, but I was like, huh, WCW finally got some tiny, minuscule, meaningless win.
Now, I think the first thing that came to my head was this is like the equivalent of a UFC knockout, like a whoa, what the fuck just happened moment.
Yeah.
And after that, then I thought, okay, well, I looked at the clock and I was like, okay, well, who's coming out then? Because that was 90 seconds and there's still a lot of time left in this hour, but nothing happened. The show went off. That was it.
Yeah, ended, what, about 25, 30 minutes early?
Yeah, or 25, 30 minutes late, I guess, depending on how you looked at it, because it was still 3.5 hours, so.
true. But I tell you what, Marcus, because just as a match, you know, if we're looking at this in a vacuum,
mm-hmm.
I think that the mission was accomplished because, you know, you and I are longtime fans. Some would call us cynical. Jaded.
Negative.
Negative even. But there was like a split second where, you know, when Goldberg had him up for the jackhammer and he got him down for the three count, there was actually a little bit of a fan reaction deep within me. It's kind of like the Grinch where his heart grew three sizes when he heard the little Who singing in Whoville. Like for a second, like quickly, it was extinguished when I started thinking about buy rates and booking decisions and is Goldberg going to need his heat back and all that. I mean, Brock going to need his heat back and all that stuff. But for a second, it was a really cool moment. And I think if you're looking at the larger fan base of the WWE, which are people that quite frankly probably aren't like us,
mm-hmm.
I think they probably got a kick out of it.
They probably did. I mean, considering the reaction afterwards, went right back to the Goldberg chants. There weren't any boos or anything like that. I think the fans, even though if they have the most reason to be upset, you're going there, you're advertised this main event, it's the last match of the night, and you get 90 seconds, and then that's it. So if they were cool with it, then you might be right.
And honestly, I think that might have been the best of both worlds. Like, if you've been sitting in this building for 4 hours, probably longer than that, because you had to get to the building.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you probably been spent a good quarter of your day in this building. You probably came out to see Bill Goldberg win. And if he can do it in 90 seconds, and I can go home and try to beat some of this traffic, all the better.
By the way, a little snowy tonight in Toronto, so I'm sure they were happy to be spending some time in the building. The other thing I did notice online was the odds on that match. Today they shifted drastically towards Goldberg, so people knew how the match was going to end. I think Goldberg was like,
who is still out here on these streets betting on pro wrestling, Marcus?
Hey, man. Degenerates.
I was gonna say you're a gambler, and even you wouldn't stoop that low.
No, I would not. There's no way to make money betting wrestling.
Oh man, so yeah, Bill Goldberg is your winner, and we'll have to see both at Raw this coming week, which is also in Toronto, same building, right?
Yep, ACC.
So we'll have to see the fallout from this and where they go with Bill Goldberg. Because I think, Marcus, again, going back to my immediate reaction, you don't do this if Goldberg is the one and done.
No, I mean, do you do another rematch with Lesnar?
I mean, if that's the match you want to go to, this is probably the best way to get there, because you didn't expose either guy.
Because, you know, if you're Lesnar and you're gone and coming back, and you're coming back and Goldberg's still around, you gotta address that, right? You can't just let that go. So, I mean, listen, if Goldberg is coming back, the ultimate end game is Lesnar killing this man. So if that happens at the Rumble, great.
Yeah.
You know, that will help sell that show in San Antonio, and that made sense. Maybe that's why he came back here, not at the Rumble. Because they do need to sell out the Alamo Dome.
Yeah, you know, every once in a blue moon, they'll come up with a good idea, Marcus.
Yeah.
Even the broken clock's right twice a day.
Just saw a funny thing on Reddit. Brock Lesnar blew a 3-1 lead. That's pretty funny.
That's our take on all things pro wrestling, at least for this week. And who knows, with the fallout, we might have to get a wrestling guest on next week and see if there's any developing stories to come out of this. But let's go from the men fighting in the ring, Marcus, to a couple grown-ass men that were fighting through the media, and that's in the world of the National Basketball Association, where the Zen Master found himself in a little bit of hot water, brother.
Yeah, Phil Jackson was called out by LeBron James for a quote that Phil had mentioned in terms of, it was in reference to LeBron's free agency visit. Is that correct?
It was, he was talking about the difficulty Riley had with him, just kind of.
Oh, right, that's right.
And going back to some of the things like when the Heat were on the road and LeBron wanted to stay an extra night, and, you know, LeBron and his posse wanted to hold up the teams and stuff like that.
So the key word in that was posse, and that was the word that LeBron James took offense with and made it racial. Now, Nate, I have never associated the term posse with African Americans.
Well, I have once, and that was with that great Mario Van Peebles movie.
Oh, God. Great in Mario Van Peebles, really.
Oh, don't take shots at Sonny Spoons. Remember that back in the, was it, Sonny Spoons would have been, what, early 90s?
Before my time.
When they, we actually had a black private eye that his whole gimmick was he dressed up in different outfits. That was a great show, Sonny Spoons. Proceed, brother, proceed.
So yeah, I've never associated that term with just black people.
No.
And you have to remember, Phil Jackson is an old man. And old people use different terms that maybe younger, more in tune people won't use. One being posse. And, you know, I felt bad for Phil Jackson because, you know what, I feel like if the nation in general wasn't so racially charged as it is currently at the moment, that this happens and LeBron doesn't think twice. But because I think everyone is sort of on guard and amped up, that LeBron found something in that statement to take offense to and went after Phil.
See, I like that you said he found something in that statement, Marcus, because while I do think he and Maverick Carter in particular took offense to the word posse, I think there was something else there at play. And I think it was the fact that he categorized Mav Carter and the rest of the guys that LeBron has entrusted with, you know, helping to take care of his business pursuits and things of that nature, just kind of referred to them as like an entourage or as lackeys, when Mav and those guys are saying, you know, we're professionals, you know, and I think they felt diminished, which made LeBron go on the offensive.
Well, which brings me to my second point. They're basically LeBron's professional freeloaders. Let's be real. If there was no LeBron James, there would be no Maverick Carter, correct?
True. Well, wasn't Mav working at Nike though before?
Yeah, but he wasn't like
Maverick Carter. He was working in the mail room.
Yeah, but he wasn't Maverick Carter. And I respect LeBron for entrusting his people. People he grew up with, people he respected, people he trusts to sort of be part of LeBron's camp, but
like, I mean, that honestly, that might be like one of the more admirable things about LeBron. Like he didn't just, you know, give guys money. Like he
gave them opportunities, gave them jobs, gave them,
you know, he didn't just give them fish. He, even though they probably had a lot of catfish dinners,
yeah.
He showed them how to fish. You know what I'm saying? He set them up. So they each got their own little businesses. But yes, you're right. It, without LeBron, none of it really manifests.
So I looked at some stuff on the web. I didn't know there was a 2004 reference from Phil on LeBron about posses.
Really?
Yeah, this is from his book. And it says, quote, "Yet as talented as LeBron James definitely appears to be, I don't believe any 19-year-old should be playing in the NBA. These young men grow so dependent on their posses who fetch their cars and their girls that they can't possibly develop into mature, self-sufficient human beings. One day, I'm convinced, we'll find out the true extent of the psychological damage that's been caused." So, I would say about this statement, considering he coached a fellow, 17-year-old, 18-year-old, and Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
And I don't want to, you know, jump on Jackson's throat on this because I haven't read the book, so I don't know what the reference is in terms of like LeBron in general. But it seems weird to single out LeBron when you had a guy in your own team that was in the same situation.
And a guy who, even though Kobe wasn't like some quote unquote thug, Kobe got himself in more hot water than LeBron ever has off the court.
And well, let's see, when was this book come out? 2005 it came out, so that would be post.
That's post Eagle, right?
Yep.
So, Phil, I'm going to need you to stop commenting out here on these social media streets and to the media and focus on the damn Knicks, Marcus. That's what I need your man Phil to do.
But for the record, I do not feel Phil Jackson is racist.
I don't think I don't even know if LeBron would, like, if you ask LeBron, I don't even know if LeBron would say Phil was racist.
he might want to think twice before he does that on the record.
But this is one of those situations, though, Marcus, where I see both sides of the fence. And Phil has come out and said, you know, that he apologized because that's what you do in this day and age. Mm-hmm. But like I can see Phil, you know, being of a different age and you know, like most of us, associating posse with, you know, Westerns or you know, at least not racially inflammatory language. I can see Phil's side of the street, but I can also see LeBron, you know, sticking up for his friends. You know, so I think both guys can be right.
Yeah, they can. And I, you know, in general, I would like to see Phil Jackson sort of go out on a better note than trying to resalvage the sorry ass Knicks.
Hey, it's your Lakers' fault, man. All they had to do was let Phil back in.
But that's on the Bus family. That's not on the Lakers as a whole.
So you say Phil got,
since they are the owners, never mind.
It was safe.
The Lakers.
So,
yeah.
So
what could have been? What could have been?
So basically, what you're saying, Marcus, is Phil got thrown under the bus.
Hi-yo.
Huh? Huh? Hey, again, this is what you're gonna get this hour tonight, folks. Take it or leave it. But speaking of take it or leave it, Marcus, that brings us to question number four. And that takes us to the National Football League and America's other team, because we all know America's real team is the Atlanta Falcons. But the so-called America's team, the Dallas Cowboys, finally made their mind up and came to the conclusion that everybody else had probably, what, about 2-3 weeks ago, Marcus?
Yeah, at least.
And decided Dak Prescott will remain the starter. Tony Romo came out and had an emotional press conference and, you know, showed full support, at least publicly, for the young brother. The Cowboys did go out today and beat game Baltimore Ravens squad, and Dak looked pretty good. So, Marcus, currently sitting at 9-1, how far do you think these Dallas Cowboys with Dak Prescott as their starting quarterback can go?
I watch the Cowboys week in, week out, and I still can't believe they're this good. I'm just waiting for the dud to happen. They won again this week. Beat the Ravens around 9-1, as you mentioned. And they, I don't want to say they struggled, but they were down a little bit early against Baltimore. And Dak was struggling in the first quarter and a half, maybe.
Yep.
But he recovered and had a great game. And, you know, they won again. The one thing I didn't notice when I looked at their schedule is that they were not really beating winning teams, per se. A lot of their wins were either against teams under 500 or teams that have not lived up to expectations, i.e. Cincinnati, Green Bay, the Steelers to an extent. So, listen, they're playing the teams that are on their schedule, but I just wonder how good they actually are when it comes down to, like, playoff time.
Well, see, and you just made my point for me, Marcus, because I would say, yes, the wins that they have, a lot of them aren't the most impressive on paper, but, you know, we see it week to week in the NFL. Outside of the New England Patriots, almost every game is 50-50. You know, there really aren't any sure things when it comes to National Football League, because this is a league that is built and designed to have parity. So I think sometimes winning ugly or beating a team that you should beat, you know, I don't take anything away from them for that. What I do like, though, that I'm seeing out of Dak is, you know, you and I talked about it a few weeks back, how everything seemed very limited, and he was basically a glorified game manager. And now it seems that they're starting to trust him more and starting to free up the offense. And I think, you know, between him and Elliott behind that line, like, you've got a quality offense. The defense is much better than I would have expected coming into the season. And in an NFC where, like you mentioned, Green Bay is down. Seattle seems to be on the come up, but they struggled earlier in the season. the Atlanta Falcons are out there, but who knows if they'll continue playing to their abilities or they'll crumble like they did last year in the second half of the season. You got the New York Giants, who are always a wild card. Like in an NFC where nobody's really running away with it, Dallas Cowboys got as good a shot as anybody, I think, to have a significant playoff run.
They do, but if they somehow finish 15-1 and you told me they lost in the first round of the playoffs, would I be surprised? No. They play Washington on Thanksgiving, which will make for – actually, let's look at the schedule real quick for Thanksgiving, because that's always an interesting day in football. Let's see. Any Thanksgiving plans, Nate?
Just eating a ton of turkey with friends. My nieces and my parents will actually be in Disney World for Thanksgiving.
What?
Yeah, they're going down there for this will be the girls' first time at Disney, because my youngest niece is now 3, so she's kind of at that age now where she can process things. Whereas if they'd gone when she was a baby, it really wouldn't have been worthwhile. So yeah, I talked to her Friday night after my football game. She's like, "Yeah, I'm gonna see Minnie and Mickey and Donald Duck. What about Goofy? I don't want to see Goofy."
Oh,
so apparently she got beef with Goofy. So hopefully they don't cross paths.
Are they staying like on site or off site?
Yeah, they're staying. They got like the whole deal with the dining plans and all that.
Oh wow,
and the little wristband things,
magic bands. I could have given some restaurant tips, man. How long are they going for?
They're going for the week.
Oh wow, okay.
Yep. So, matter of fact, they're leaving out early tomorrow morning or Monday morning by the time you hear the show, and they'll be back next Monday.
That's funny. Everyone's going to Disney World. Ain't that something?
I will be back here in Virginia and enjoying way too much food and probably way too much alcohol and football and naps on the couch.
So Vikings Lions is the first game, which is an important game because both teams are 6-4.
So racial slur.
Yes. Skins Cowboys. Steelers Colts. Decent.
Yeah.
Fantasy purposes. Reason to watch.
Okay. Not bad. But yeah, I think particularly this year with all the intrigue around Dak and Tony and the Redskins, apparently, as we're recording, on their way to a victory, that'll probably be the marquee game.
As the Patriots just fumbled. That should do it.
Probably should have used a discount double check on that one, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, Packers are not very good. It kind of makes me laugh because I was never anti Aaron Rodgers, but the more he loses, the more smug he becomes.
Hey, Marcus, RELAX.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, they're about to be 4-6, so P A N I C.
Oh man, so who does Dallas have after the Redskins?
Let's see here.
I'm no Cowboys fan by any stretch, but if I were gonna put money down on any team in the NFC in terms of who I thought had the best shot, it might be Dallas.
At Minnesota.
Okay.
Also on they have back-to-back Thursday night games, which is weird. And at New York, also primetime. That's an 8:30 game on NBC.
Okay.
And then home to Tampa Bay, home to Detroit, and then at Philadelphia.
Okay, so let's say they go 3-2.
Yeah, which is generous. I could see them going 4-1. I mean, I think Minnesota the defense might give Dak some issues.
Yeah.
But besides that,
I mean, the Philly and the Giants, it's a divisional game, though.
Yeah.
So anything could happen with divisional games, even though they should win those two. But yeah, I could see them winning, you know, 13, 14 games.
Yeah. And they would get their bye, so they would play in the second week of the playoffs, and too early to tell who they play in the first round. But yeah, I mean, their only loss this year was week one. They lost by a point.
Yes, yeah, so as long as they can stay away from Julio Jones and those Dirty Birds, they might be all right.
Oh, jeez.
Can you imagine, Marcus, how unbearable I'm going to be if the Falcons somehow find a way to get some magic and make it to the Super Bowl this year?
We might have to stop doing the show. Hiatus.
You thought the other guy that used to be here was bad. Man.
Yeah.
I just book all old Falcons on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Jamal Anderson to the program. Next week on the program, Bobby Abad. War done, everybody.
Chris Chandler, can we find him?
Chris Chandler? You know Mike Vick is gonna be the special guest.
Oh yeah.
Algae Crumpler, if anybody can find Algae Crumpler.
Algae Crumpler.
Man, who's my white boy, the linebacker? Keith Brookin.
Oh yeah.
Jesse Tuggle.
Jesse Tuggle, man.
Deion Sanders.
Bill Goldberg.
Bill Goldberg, tying it back to wrestling. Yeah, so many great Falcons over the years that never really produced anything except for that one run to the Super Bowl.
Meanwhile, the Redskins, Rob Kelly. Another touchdown.
Hey. I'm done with the Redskins, though, and they're mix-and-match running backs.
Yeah, Packers aren't looking good.
Nope. All right. That's a wrap for Green Bay. And I think it's time to wrap up our five questions, Mark. Let's question with question. That's how they say it in English.
K. Number question five.
Well, depending on the subject, this question might have three K's.
No.
All right, so before I ask you this question, Brother Marcus, mm-hmm. I need to get some background information.
Yes.
Okay, so we know you're a Jets fan.
Correct.
We know you're a Dodgers fan.
Correct.
We know you're a Lakers fan.
Correct.
We know you're a USC fan.
Fight on.
Out of those teams, which is your favorite? Who do you have the most allegiance to?
So I would say the Dodgers, but I feel like because of my job, what I do now, I like the Dodgers, but I'm okay with the Dodgers losing. It's not life or death.
You have to be impartial.
Yeah. So I guess of that group, if you add in the Kings too.
Yeah, you throw in the Kings and your Rams with your new starting quarterback.
Side note, we went to the Rams game today, right? And it one of the rare days it rained in L.A. So strike one was sitting in the rain for 3 hours. Strike two was watching up until that point, the fourth quarter, two teams combined for more punts than first downs. So it was not a good game. And then Jared Goff, they roll him out there and essentially don't allow him to throw the ball downfield. So, you know, they could have started tasting him. There's no difference. So we left at the start of the fourth quarter, the Rams up 10-0. And by the time we got to the grocery store, it was 14-10 Rams or 14-10 Dolphins. So Rams are now 4-6 and not making the playoffs. So, of that group, I would probably say, I think USC football.
Okay, so USC football would be your biggest fan allegiance when it comes to sports.
Yeah.
So would you say, and this is another question, it's all leading up to one big question. Mm-hmm. Are you more affiliated with and enthusiastic about USC football or Disney?
Oh, Disney.
Okay, so Disney, yeah, outside of your wife and your family, Disney's the number one thing in your life.
Ooh, when you put it like that.
I mean, yeah, not including work or anything like that, but just in terms of
like hobbies or
right. Disney would be the number one thing.
Yeah.
Okay. So all right. So here it is, Marcus. This is the big question. Question number five, which is always a wild card.
Mm-hmm.
If I told you you could single-handedly turn back the hands of time and prevent Donald Trump from becoming president of the United States, would you do it? That's just a simple yes or no.
What am I giving up?
Just simple yes or no, and then I'll break it down even further.
Do I have a can I backtrack if I don't like this?
Yes, yes. Okay. Once you hear the stipulations.
Okay, yes.
But yeah, if I told you you could go back and change time, get Donald Trump out of there, you would do that.
Uh-huh.
Now, Marcus, the question is, in order to go 8 years Trump-free, you'll have to go 8 years Disney-free. Would you do that?
Sorry, America.
Damn. So you're saying you couldn't give up Disney for 8 years in order to help people, Marcus, in order to get Donald Trump up out there?
No. Let me see if my wife is downstairs. Hold on.
Wow. Marcus Vandenberg putting personal needs over the good of the country.
I'm going to call my wife up here. She's going to make her very appearance on the show.
I can't remember the last time she was on the show.
Never. She's never been on the show.
So is she going to coast? I mean, she's been in the background way back. So she's going to co-sign your selfishness?
I'm going to ask her a question. Come here. Hold on, put the earphone in. She can hear you now, Nate.
All right. So how you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing great. At least I was until I found out how selfish your husband was.
That's all right. Go ahead. Ask a question.
Okay. So we're playing, you know, five questions here on the show. And my
she
last question.
To the show. She doesn't know about this.
She doesn't know about this?
No, but this is the question.
So the question is, if Marcus could get rid of Donald Trump, meaning we'd never have to worry about Donald Trump in the White House ever again, but it meant giving up 8 years of Disney, would he do it? He said no.
Would you do it, Shannon?
Give up 8 years
you
of
couldn't
Disney?
You couldn't go to any Disney park for 8 years, but you would have no Donald Trump.
I would take no Donald Trump.
Yes. Yes. And that is why she is your better half, Marcus Vandenberg.
More Disney for me.
I can't even think of a better way to end the show. Like, let's just give our Twitter handles and call it a week, brother.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram, Stumping for Trump at Mark O'Will. MarcoWill.
Oh man, that was wonderful. That was wonderful. You can find me on Twitter, and I guess it's only fair if I do the inverse, Marcus.
So what would yours be?
My favorite team is the Braves, even more so than the Falcons. And so if you told me the Braves could never win a World Series again, or wouldn't win a World Series for the rest of my lifetime, and I can get rid of Donald Trump.
No, I'm gonna go one deeper.
Uh-oh.
You can't drink for 8 years.
Ooh. See, why you trying to?
You won't have to drink in a non-Trump world. Everything would be good, right? The Democrats would make you all happy, right?
I see. That's that. Why you always trying to divide people, Mark? You're supposed to be a uniting force. In America. I'm looking at the clock, Marcus. It's been over 5 minutes, so we're going to have to call it a show. hey, man, I gave up smoking. Well, are you trying to take all my vices away?
Hey, just saying.
I don't know. Actually, you know what? That's a real catch-22, because if Trump is still in office, that's even more reason to keep drinking.
That is true. So you could,
but,
you could double down on alcohol.
Yeah.
Or you could have a...
But then if I get sick, I won't have health care because he'll blow up the whole system. So, you know what? I'll be drinking and talking to Marcus in Disneyland or Disney World.
quick side note before we end the show. So, Pro Wrestling Sheet just tweeted out a story about Goldberg. He has agreed to appear in the Royal Rumble in January. So,
appear at or in?
In. So that makes sense, I guess.
So then you think Brock throws Goldberg out, and then we get Brock Goldberg at Mania?
At Mania.
Yeah.
At the end of the story, it says no word at this point as to whether any sort of WrestleMania match is in the works. But, I mean, that would give someone Lesnar to work with. So, yeah, I would say that made sense.
Yeah, okay.
With some type of, it won't be just a regular match, I would say. It would be a something, no DQ or cage or something. So.
Shout out to Bill Goldberg.
Keep getting them checks.
Yep, keep getting them checks. And you can, again, find Marcus at Marco Will if you want to chastise him for not helping out America. You can find me at him, the number 8, MOZAIK, at Nate Mosaic. Follow the show, Cospod, KOS_POD, Cospod on Twitter. Hit us up on the Facebook page. Like, rate the show, review the show. Subscribe, and most importantly, share the show with your friends. So we will be back next week with a full episode of the show, unless we decide to do another rant, because you know we reserve that right. But hopefully next week, Marcus, we can get back to normal post-election and post-SummerSlam, or I mean post-election and post-Survivor Series, and you know, get back into picking games and Black quarterback rankings and all that other good stuff.
Maybe next week. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe on Wednesday that we'll record something. So.
Yeah. So you got that to look forward to. But unless you got anything else, Marcus, I think we're going to call it a night, and I'm going to go drink, and you're going to go and marvel at your virtuous wife, who is better than the both of us.
Man. Sold me out. That's cool, though. That's all I got.
So we'll catch you guys and girls back here next week with an all-new edition of the world's most dangerous sports show, the Kings of Sport podcast. For Marcus Vanderberg, I am the godfather, Nate Milton. I'm a survivor. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to stop. I'm gonna work harder. I'm a survivor. I'm gonna make it. I will survive. Keep on surviving. And I'm completely sober right now, folks. And you've been down with the Kings.
Well, that's it for this edition of the Royal Rant. Agree with our take? Think we're off base? Or maybe you've got something completely different that you need to vent about. Well, tell us why you're mad on Facebook, facebook.com/thekingsofsport, or on Twitter, Cospod on Twitter. That's KOS_POD, Cospod on Twitter. Time is really wasted. There's no guarantee. Smile is in the making. You gotta fight the powers that be. Got so many voices.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation. PlaceToBeNation.com, The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner. At least we hope. Place to Be Nation's Justin Rosero here. In addition to The Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes and PlaceToBeNation.com. You can check out myself and Scott Criscolo on The Mothership, The Place to Be Podcast, home of great interviews and our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews. If you need your fix of current wrestling talk, we have plenty of options for you there, including Main Events, which features roundtable discussion led by PTBN analysts and special guests, our monthly pay-per-view reaction show, including immediate feedback and discussion for WWE, NXT, Ring of Honor, and New Japan Super Shows, and Wrestling with Optimism, which focuses on the positives of the business. Also, be sure to relive wrestling's past with Graham Cawthon's excellent exclusive History of Wrestling podcast, Dylan Hales and Dave Musgrave's Wrestling Culture podcast, our monthly pay-per-view rewind roundtable series led by Ben Morse, and the Dangerous Alliance podcast starring myself and Pro Wrestling Only's Will, diving into various subjects in the form of exercises and games. Sports fans have plenty to dive into as well. We feature The Extra Point with Scott Criscolo and Dr. G, The Kings of Sport featuring Live Audio Wrestling's godfather Nate Milton, The Sports Lounge hosted by Cowboy and Cowboy Sr., as well as the NBA Team Podcast, which takes a year-round deep dive into pro hoops. PTBN also proudly features Richard and the Mailman podcast, which specializes in the world of TV, thought leadership, anger, and irreverence. As mentioned, all of these shows are available on PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. PTBN is also home to the tremendous in-depth features on pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments, and more. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, in Fall River, Massachusetts, Scott Keats, RSPWFAQ.com blog, and Piledriver.net.